The following show is intended for a mature audience.
Nope, not for the kids.
So if you're underage...
Go to bed.
Easily offended...
Get over yourself.
Oh, you got a gigantic stick up your... You might want to go do some needlepoint or something.
It's the Gentle Silverwing Show on online gaming radio.
It's time to kick your feet up, tune in and waste some time. You're gonna wait 2 hours on Gentle Show tonight.
Hey there, Dwarf!
Hey, Jesus!
It's like a tragic tale, all the crazy things he makes us
do. I'm just glad I got my ale. Get it started!
Back off! I got a tonga, I'm not the fate to use it!
Well, it's time to get it started on the most sensational thing.
Everyone, this is the Jethro Silverwing Show for August 30th, 2011. I am your host, Jethro Silverwing. With me, as always, my love, my girl, the burning of my loins, the tailor of fine armor, the collector of cogs, and the reason we have a mature audience morning at the top of the show, Alex and Jenna!
Hail and greetings.
If you'd like to join in on the mayhem, you can log on to the in-game chat channel, which is OGR on the Antonia Vale server. It's up and running 24-7, where the OGR elite come to meet. If you'd like to download any of our skits, interviews, Gentle's parodies, Elkman's videos, and get all of our social links and much, much more, you can find them at kithacore.org. How are we doing there, Elkman?
Doing pretty good.
Yeah, have a good day, did you?
Yeah, I think so. Right. Had a pretty good week so far. We went out and did the... what was the questing game to, the first step for the Beast Lords?
Yeah, we did the Beast Lord introduction on the good side, anyway.
Yeah, I needed to grab Krina and go try the evil side. Supposedly there's a whole nother side of the story.
Really?
Yes.
On how the Beast Lord needs to be destroyed?
Mm-hmm.
My God.
Let's see, game update 61 hit Thursday? Yeah,
Thursday.
And a whole bunch of camping issues, from what I understand. If you camped out in your guild hall, some people were not able to log back into the game. I heard that quite a bit.
And I was naked twice.
Naked?
Oh, yeah. What, they unattuned everything twice on us?
Yeah, they did it again today.
Unattuned.
Yep, they did it again tonight. Well, they gave you the option tonight. And I said yes, why not?
You just want to run around naked again, right?
Sure, why not?
Yeah, I figure.
I like that. Sebia from the Antonia Mail Service says, the show needs more Ixar.
More Ixar.
Show needs more Ixar. Some might say it needs more cowbell. But you know, cowbell, not so easy to come by in game.
Is there even a cowbell?
I don't believe so.
There are cows.
Then we need cowbell.
Look, buddy, pal, snuggle muffin. We need cowbell. All right.
You've been just getting too much practice with that lately.
Yeah, well, one of the guys I work with is funny as hell. He's just as weird as I am, and he does a great Christopher Walken impersonation, so... We're just back and forth. Buddy, pal. I ain't your pal, buddy. And stuff like that. More cowbell. That's what I'm saying.
He doesn't get enough of it at work. He has to bring it home.
Of course, I have to torture the boy with it. Buddy, snuggle muffin.
Snuggle muffin.
Oh, he loves that.
Hey, he's right next to you there. Call him Snuggle Muffin.
He is not next to me. He's next to you.
Oh, is he up in his room?
Yes.
Eric, come here a minute.
Oh, God, here we go. Boy torture.
Eric! Come here for a minute. Buddy, pal, Snuggle Muffin.
Fuck you, you asshole!
Whoa!
Alright, hey, shut the dog up. Get out of my room!
That's funny.
Okay, now that we've annoyed the hell out of the kid...
You drive the boy to cuss.
Wait a minute. Alright, we are coming to you live tonight from the Incy Wincy Spider. What is it? Four Bale Court, South Kinos on the Antonia Bale server, under...
The Spider.
And tonight we're talking with Serest of True North. Hello, Serest.
Hello.
How are you today?
Oh, fairly well.
Getting annoyed with strange Ixar coming into the Incy Wincy Spider demanding to see your kitchen?
Well, just one.
They must be destroyed.
Nah, that's a little bit of a reaction.
Ah, come on. That's the Legion of Kithacor reaction.
Destroy them.
But I suppose not the True North reaction, or the Vagabond Knight reaction, I guess.
Well, no, the Vagabond Knights are, as far as they're concerned, are pretty much... Their major problem is with vampires.
Oh, what now?
They've always been vampires.
Oh, yeah.
The VK just... Vampires, shoot them, stake them, burn them, whatever. Right. As for True North, well, we're pretty open-minded, but... It's his kitchen is his kingdom.
Yep, and they are here questioning the safety of the food in your kitchen. Bastards.
That's the time to break out the old recipe for lizard tail on a stick.
There we go.
Yeah.
Can I interest you in some deep-fried lizard man? You probably knew him. Matter of fact, I'll make sure of it. Where's her address again?
Sorry.
All right, let's see here. So tonight, we're going to try to shed some light on potency and crit mitigation and...
Some of those other funky stats that we're just not sure about.
Some things that some people just aren't sure about, like me! I have no freaking idea. Okay, so let's see. Let's start with... Let me open up my stat thing here. Alright, so...
Whipping up your stat thing?
Whipping up the stat thing, yeah.
Pardon me while I whip this out.
Yeah, I figured that was gonna come.
Of course. Alright, so, it wasn't all that long ago where all you had was, wisdom, intelligence, agility, stamina, and strength on your items. And not too long ago, they all said, screw it! We're gonna make these things not really count for shit, and we're gonna have a lot of modifications and bonuses and potencies.
Well,
and now we're all confused as hell.
Well, it does seem confusing at first glance, I will admit, especially perhaps to the new player. But the thing is, the new player coming into the game isn't going to be hit with all that stuff right
off
the bat.
True.
You know, because when you're level 10 or level 20, you don't really need that.
They're just going to be smacked across the head lightly with a trout for a while until they, you know, and then they'll be smacked with it later, right?
Right. That stuff doesn't come along, really start coming along until you get to the 50s or 60s, I think. Mm-hmm. I think that's when they've started putting it in. And it really doesn't become important until you're in the 70s or 80s. Gotcha. You know, that's when you start to see the more difficult content. You know, at the lower level. Like, if you go to, say, what's an example? Kaladin. You're not going to need critical mitigation in there because nothing's going to hit you that hard. You know, your regular armor and everything else is going to be perfectly sufficient. But, so where would you like to start?
Well, let's see here. Well, anywhere you want to start, really. I mean...
Well, let's start out with the basics, then. Critical mitigation.
Okay.
That's really where... because that seems to be one of the biggest... That's the thing that is the most important, I guess, especially when you start hitting higher level content, because that directly affects your survivability.
Okay.
What critical mitigation does, unlike regular mitigation, when you are hit by some of the more difficult, especially in heroic zones, critters out in Velius, they have what's called crit bonus, which I'll get into later. What critical mitigation does is it reduces the... When a monster scores a critical hit on you, you take a certain amount of additional damage on above and beyond what the normal damage you would take is.
Right.
The critical hit. The critical mitigation reduces that additional damage, which normally results in you being squished like a bug, to a manageable level.
Okay.
So it's designed to mitigate the extra damage that the monsters are dishing out, the critical hits.
Okay, I understand.
In an amount equal to its percentage rating. So if you have a critical mitigation of 50%, and something scores a critical hit on you, 50% of the additional critical damage will be mitigated.
Gotcha.
So it's just like regular mitigation, but it only applies to critical hits.
Okay, so right now my critical mitigation is at zero, which means I'm getting the full brunt of everything.
So if you took a critical hit right now, you would probably go splat.
Right, as I have many times.
At least it would, if it was something of your level.
Okay, so if I had a critical mitigation of 50%, I would only be taking half of the damage of a critical hit on me.
Right.
Gotcha.
However, that would probably, depending on where you are, like some instances you have to have a certain critical mitigation percentage, or because they do, the things do so much damage that they will squash you. The best way for speaking about Velius in general, because that's where critical mitigation is really the most important. If you do the public quests, the armor you get from that is pretty sufficient for the average player.
All right.
So you
that's
go out, you
the
do your
one, right? There's two versions. There's one that you get at lower.
There's two grades of it. The higher grade stuff, which you can usually tell by the name of it. I'm not familiar with all the names of all the gear. I know that Elkin Jinnah has some of the better quality public quest gear.
I have
what is that,
a full
the
set
Subversion?
Of
the Subversion gear.
Yeah, Subversion.
Okay,
the Subversion gear for scouts is what to work toward.
Okay, we do have a question in the channel here.
Bass
from the Antonio Bale server asks, what happens if you have a critical mitigation over 100?
Alright, if you have a critical mitigation of, say, 120%, that serves to offset the... There are some monsters that will have a critical bonus of over 100%.
Oh.
So what you're doing is you're counteracting that higher bonus. There are some critters out there that have critical bonuses of 150 or higher.
Alright.
So... those are in the more difficult heroic zones.
Now, see, that's some of the stuff they put in the game that I just don't understand. How can you have more than 100% of something?
Well, what it is, it's designed to offset a penalty or a bonus that the other thing has. They're designed to counteract each other. So if you have a critical mitigation of 90%, which is about what you get from the public quest armor.
Mm-hmm.
And you get hit, you take a critical from something with 150% critical bonus, that's still going to hurt a lot.
Right.
You go splat.
Because what that effectively means is that you are taking a critical hit doing 70% extra damage.
gotcha.
So it's the difference between your critical mitigation and the critical bonus of the thing hitting you that determines the percentage of additional damage you take.
Alright.
So if you look at most mobs in Velius, you'll see you can see a buff on them. If they have a critical bonus above normal, it will be indicated in their buffs. And it will tell you how much extra they have. Usually that's something you'll see mostly on names. There are a few in Great Divide and the Eastern Race that have the additional crit bonus. But those are, as I said, names, typically.
Right.
The average regular monsters are not going to have that additional bonus. Their chance to crit would be normal.
All right. Now, I do want to remind people, because I'm seeing some comments in the channel here. Ceres does not work for Sony. Is not in charge of dishing out any stats of his own. Does not work on the armor, blah, 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 blah. He just knows more about this stuff than we do. That's why we called him in.
Yeah, I'm not by any means a, you know, pure expert on this subject. I have done some looking into it, but I'm not, you know, my opinion should not be misunderstood to be that of an SOE employee. But I can offer some guidance to people. I mean, I help people in our guild with this all the time and such like that, you know, right, when they have questions about gear.
Okay,
being helpful is part of what we do in Sonoris.
All right, so what's next?
All right, well, moving on from critical mitigation, let's get to crit bonus and potency, because those are really two other things that are going to come up a lot, probably as questions. Crit bonus I have gone over already to a certain extent. Essentially what that means is that when your character scores a critical hit, you will do that percentage of additional damage on the critical.
Right.
That is so your crit bonus only comes into play based on your crit chance. The higher your crit chance is, the more chance you have of critting, and then the crit bonus applies to the damage you do in the critical.
Alright, let's see. And that was a critical bonus, was it?
Yes.
Let's see, so I have a critical bonus of 5%! My god, I suck.
Let's see what mine is.
Well, see, I don't go raiding or anything like that, so my gear is pretty basic.
Well, the thing is, I don't go raiding much either. For my higher level characters, their bonuses are from gear that's in heroic zones.
Mm. Oh, wow, this is pretty interesting.
What's that?
Well, I just noticed something. I had... Let's see. No, I didn't. I took those, put those back on. Never mind. Well, my critical mitigation, that's with a full set of subversion armor with... hang on. Oh, little lesser critical mitigation adornments that I got from... oh god, what was our last expansion?
Sentinel State?
Huh?
Sentinel State was the expansion before.
Yeah, I got them from there. Because I had a bunch of marks. Each one gives me 2.5. So that took my critical mitigation up to 112.5.
Which is pretty decent. For most of the heroic content that you're going to expect to do, 112 is about right.
And then what are we talking about? Crit chance or crit bonus?
Bonus.
Crit bonus.
Crit bonus, 126.
Okay, so that means that when you score a critical hit, providing that the your target doesn't have any critical mitigation of its own, your crit is going to do 126% additional damage above the normal crit level.
Says crit bonus. Your spells and abilities will crit 125% harder.
Right.
Because my
The rating of crit bonus is... I'm not sure why there's that slight discrepancy when you mouse over it as compared to the number that you actually see.
Yeah, it's bringing up a little window.
The pop-up window is what you should go by when you mouse over it.
So So, like, does that totally suck, or?
That's pretty good, actually.
Okay.
For the gear that you're in, you're pretty much, you know, I mean, the subversion gear, as I said, for the average player, is more than sufficient for the things you're going to be doing, the heroic zones you're going to hit, things like that. So the average player, now technically doing a public quest to get that armor is quote unquote a raid, but it's not really that difficult. It's
I've had a lot of people complain lately that they've,
especially the ring war is pretty easy.
That has a chance to drop the breastplate. Either one.
Well, you can get the breastplate from either one. I will say that the Stormgorge public quest is more difficult than Ring War, because you actually have to. There's a siege marshal who is coordinating the Coldane defense set at Stormgorge. You have to keep him alive. That is the victory condition.
Yeah.
If he dies, you lose.
Well, you don't quite lose. It just becomes less difficult. It changes difficulty level.
You don't get it. But it also reduces the level of reward you can get.
Yeah, it does.
So effectively, you know, if you're trying to get the best reward, you have to keep the Siege Marshal alive through the entire battle.
I've been out there quite a bit lately because I'm doing it for the Velium shards that I can turn in.
Yeah.
The what?
The Velium jewels.
Yeah, the Velium jewels for faction. You know, between that and the solo quest, the solo mission, you know, I can get 5 of those to turn in. So I'm trying to get my cold data.
If you do both public quests and the solo mission, you can get 2,500 faction a day.
That's what I'm doing. So I've noticed that Stormgorge. I mean, I have yet to see one go through all the way. Well, wait a minute. I take that back. Last one I did last night, they kept the marshal alive. But there's been a lot of them in Great Divide 1 that just absolutely bite it. I just can't believe it. Because when I first started doing them, if you get into Great... if there was like at least, what, 4? Maybe 4 different raids going on? I mean, it was just packed. Now it's like maybe two raids.
The rating has... the number of people looking for the public quest gear has slowed down a lot because most people have it by now.
Big time.
The people you still see doing it are people who are, you know, they're getting new characters up to level and they want to start get the gear.
Yeah.
So you're still going to be able to get into public quests. They're still there. There are just not as many of them going on at the same time.
No, because some guy was there and they were lamenting about how many times they've done this, the public quest, trying to get the breastplate, and it's just not showing up for them.
The breastplate is... that's the hardest item. That and your... there's a weapon you can get.
Yeah, I have the weapon.
From the PQ as well.
Yeah. Each class has, you know...
However, there are equally good weapons you can get from certain instances, so you don't necessarily have to get the public quest weapon. It's a good weapon to get, but it's not... you know, you're not going to be completely crippled if you don't get that one. There are other things you can go out and work for. As a ranger, you know, I'm not... I know rangers are more dependent, or at least my understanding is that rangers are more dependent on their bows than their melee. So... But you can still get bonuses from your melee weapons that will help you with your archery, and vice versa. You know. So the bonuses from the gear are what really count. But we're digressing a little bit here. But anyway, in a nutshell, the public quests are where to go to get, for the average player, to get what you need.
Personally, I've made the decision to start doing the battlegrounds again.
Quite honestly, Jethel, I would advise against that. The battlegrounds armor has been specialized more with the recent regearing. It is not particularly suitable for PvE. You're going to want to get gear from instances. Or from PQs.
Oh, I see. I see how it is.
Monster is going to be great in Battlegrounds, don't get me wrong, but it's not going to provide you with critical mitigation against monsters. It's going to provide you with critical mitigation against players. It's PvE armor, not PvP armor, yeah, and it's been retooled to be PvP armor. That's what it does.
Taking a look here. Let's see.
That's my understanding. My information may not be completely 100% on that, but that is what I understand.
Well, let's see. I'm seeing a lot of PvP critical mitigation and stuff like that. Let me check out some of the other armor here. Yeah, there's a lot of... they've retooled it all to be freaking PvP now, which means the stuff I've already got, let me check, has probably been retooled for freaking PvP. Oh, yeah, I can't check out my own inventory while I'm here. Let me get out of here.
Whoops.
You are forbidden from viewing your own inventory while you're in the Battlegrounds area.
Yeah,
I think sucks.
I for one don't have a lot of experience with Battlegrounds. I poked my nose into it last year, and it's just not my. It's not for me. I'm not interested in PvP.
Yeah.
It's not the type of play I want to do.
I've been in it a few times. I think it'd be more fun if you have a group of friends all going in together.
Yeah.
You know.
All right. Let's see here. So
yes, but the you know.
I don't think that was one of them. Deathbringer's Dagger. It's got a 5% PvP multi-attack chance, but other than that, it seems to be non-PvP. Let me check the bow. Yeah, the bow and the daggers don't seem to have much in the way of PvP, but the armor certainly did.
The armor is where the changes happened.
Gotcha.
That armor is not going to protect you particularly well against PvE opponents.
Now, suppose I gotta get into the damn public quests now.
Well, actually, you don't, Jethel. I mean, you can just... If you don't want to do the PQs, you can just go to instances. I mean, I know lots of people who do instances all the time. There's plenty of groups out there. I mean, I know a bunch of us are trying to get together a regular alliance of people to do instances and get people gear. You know, so that we can help people out. I mean, it's like with the... Remember when we invited you to... that time we invited you along to kill Mistmore?
Yeah.
That's the...
Where I got my ass handed to me in the first 5 seconds? Yeah, that was great. No one told me he saps mana, or a power, that is.
None of us had fought that particular Mistmore before. The other one doesn't do that.
7 years in EQ2, and I'm still calling it mana.
Mana, power, whatever. It's we know what it means. Most people are going to understand when you talk about mana that you're talking about power.
All right, so I put this out there to people, to my fans out there, perhaps not even my fans, some of my brutal enemies. If you're going into an instance, you need a ranger, shoot me a tell. If it's not too late, you know, because I do work in the mornings now, if it's not too late, I'll go with you.
I mean, there are, but quite honestly, Jethel, even if you do, even just do the solo quest lines, I mean, like for the Othmir, or, you know, in such in Great Divide and the Eastern Race, the gear that you get from that will be, I mean, it's not as good as the PQ stuff, but it will get you started.
Right.
You know?
What the heck do I got right now? Let me see. Chest piece of the Herded Defender. Where the hell did I get that?
You probably got that. You got that from the Gomari. That comes from the Gomari village.
Ah.
Up where you get the Griffins.
Yeah.
We're best to them, and they give. That's the reward.
Cuffs of Malevolence. That's from the public quest.
That's the lower end gear.
Yeah.
The Malevolence gear, don't get me wrong, the Malevolence gear is not bad.
I like the look of it. I wouldn't mind having a set for the appearance.
Looks like I have most of the Malevolence gear.
the malevolence gear for, you know, if you're going into somewhere like, let me think of an example. What is the name of that place? The pools? The Forgotten Pools?
Yeah.
Your malevolence gear will be perfectly fine in there. That's going to do what you need it to do. The only time you start having to worry about getting into the higher levels of critical mitigation and gear are when you are going to places like Kael Drakel.
Mm-hmm.
When you go
in,
you
want higher mitigation if you go to Tower of Frozen Shadow, 2x level.
Well, yeah, but that's a raid zone. That's a raid instance, so that's going to be different. That's different. But for the people that I work with, mostly from the Vagabond Knights, when we go to Ice Shard Keep, which is the first of the Kael Drakel instances, you want to have about 90% critical mitigation to go in there. That's where you want to be starting out. I'm not sure the malevolence will quite get you there, but the neat thing is that as you go through and you do those, you get these gems that you can then have made into the into armor, which a lot of people refer to as the Vigor armor.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can also purchase it from them via the merchant, but it's cheaper to have it crafted.
You still have to have the gems even if you're going to buy it from the merchant.
Right, and it's cheaper to have it crafted than it is to purchase it.
Right.
Each piece costs about 20 Velium shards and a gem.
Crafted.
And then there are actually two types of Vigor armor. There's the stuff that requires the gem, and there's a suit that doesn't. The stuff that does not require the gem takes 25 shards per piece, but no gem.
Where's that at? I was just in Rhaegar. I mean, the armor that they've
crafted.
Got...
Huh? That has to be crafted. That's only available from the crafters.
Oh.
Well, let me explain my situation here. I'm a lazy, lazy man.
That's a joke. Anyway.
Well, okay, technically not a joke, but that's all right.
When it comes to you getting gear...
Well, you know, I'm not a huge raider.
I'm not a huge raider either.
Okay, I'm not even a moderate raider.
Well, the thing is, what I'm trying to tell you, Jethel, is that...
You don't raid at all.
The stuff... I, for one, am not particularly big on raiding myself. What I'm trying to provide information about here is the stuff for the average player,
right,
like you and I, who want to just go out and be able to do some heroic content with our friends and not get completely splatted.
Right.
And yes, it does require a little effort, but it's not really as bad as it sounds. I mean, one thing, you know, the Velium shards are pretty easy to get, and one big difference between Destiny of Velius and, say, Sentinel's Fate is that in order to get a piece of Sentinel's Fate crafted armor made, you needed to have, like, 90 marks of Menar or something ridiculous like that.
It was ridiculous.
You can get almost an entire set of the Rhaegor armor made for 100 Velium shards.
Nice.
So you're getting an entire suit of gear made for the same cost as one piece of gear in the last expansion.
You have to... It's... The breastplate drops, right?
The breastplate is a drop in the Temple of Relos Zek.
What about the leggings?
Leggings are crafted from a gem and shards.
Okay, so you're looking at 120 shards for a set of Rhaegor without the breastplate.
Right, and then the breastplate, once you've got... Then you would have to go do the instance to... So it might... The breastplate would be probably the hardest thing to get because it's a drop and yours may not drop.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the only risk, is that you'd go in and you'd run through and it drops for somebody else in your group.
Right. And that's the reason I was, you know, thinking, of course, that's been squashed now, about going into the battlegrounds is because, well, I don't have to worry about the chance of something dropping. I can just earn the tokens and buy the damn thing.
As I said, the rest of the Rhaegor armor, the leggings and all that stuff, I mean, you can just earn your Velium shards by doing you know, your daily quests or whatever.
Right.
And, you know, there are any number of crafters out there who can make this stuff for you by now.
Right. And, Elkin, you know of the solo shard quest. You can just point me in that direction at some point.
Sure, that's outside of third again at the very top before you enter the
field out there. Yeah.
Just before you're facing the snow out there, go to the right. There's a dwarf down there, and he'll be happy to send your little butt in there.
Right. What I do is I take this dwarf, I hang him upside down by his ankles, give me the damn shard! That kind of thing?
It's not... the daily quests are actually, for the most part, don't involve combat.
Oh.
They don't.
Your actual idea is to not get into combat.
Well, that's good then.
The only combat you do is at the end.
You will have to assassinate a couple of leaders at the end, but the better you are at not being spotted, the better your reward is.
And don't think you can use Cammy in there because it's not going to work.
Yeah, you have to watch the patrol patterns and sort of slip between them.
Gotcha.
So it's a matter of looking around, watching where the giants are walking, and going, okay, he's going over there, so I need to go over here, and then I'll sneak around this way. So you have to be careful. It's all about, you know, how well can you maneuver around and, you know, not be spotted.
And as long as you're not spotted, I mean, if you are spotted and you have to kill to get out of there or whatever, you end up with the shard anyway. But if you can not be spotted, you end up with one of the jewels for a faction.
You you get a Cloudy Velium jewel, and
right.
You get 50 gold.
Oh, yeah, right. If you get spotted at all, you will lose the jewel, but you'll still get the shard and 50 gold.
If you kill a giant after you're spotted, then you will, that you're not...
Just get the shard.
You just get the shard.
So a lot of times if I fail and I'm spotted, I'll just... Fine. Everybody's dying! Everybody's dying to die!
Pretty much.
I'm not gonna get nothing except the shard this time, so...
That's pretty much what I do. If I get spotted by a giant, you know, at that point, what the heck, it's only 50 gold. I mean, yeah, it does help to have it, but it's not...
Right.
Essential. Just kill the giant.
Yeah, I don't sneak around anymore. It's death to everybody. Everybody's going to die.
Yeah.
Alright. You giants are in my way. Time to die.
So when you get to the end, and after you complete your whatever it is that the dwarf has assigned you to do, then it will tell you, you know, kill the commander and one other randomly selected named in the zone.
It's always the commander. He's in the center of the zone anyway.
So you kill him and some other, and another named, and...
Well, there's a priest that's a named. There is the arms master, the quartermaster. The arms master, I don't know why, but he's up on top of a...
He's in the armory, up on
top
of...
Yeah, and I've learned very quickly that if you go in there to put... You have to grab different... It's like grabbing and doing things, okay? You have to grab a keg from the tavern area and put it over by the fire in the armory, and it blows up and kills the smith that's in there. But unfortunately, above in that area above is one guy that you might need that's a named. So I've learned that if I have to go put the keg in there to blow it up and stuff, I will lower that thing that...
The elevator.
Platform? Yeah, I'll lower that ahead of time. Just in case, because I found it's a heck of a lot easier getting my butt up there if it's already down, and I have to sneak over and bring it down and sneak back over and get on it. So, yeah, that worked out a lot better this time, because I've always, every time I have to kill the guy that's above, because there's three different missions that you do, and each one requests that you do a different action. Like, you have to get three different items, or you've got to poison the kegs, or you got to poison the food.
What? That's... Poison kegs?
Oh,
no!
Yeah. Sorry, Doofu. Yeah, well, it's the giants are drinking it, so...
Well, yeah, let's say, Doofu, I mean, do you really want to have giants drinking down good ale? They all need to die. That way there's more ale for you.
Bastard giants drinking me ale! And they drink like 5, 10, 20 kegs at a time!
Yeah, they're pretty big. I mean, you could use one as a bathtub. I mean, they're huge.
They're causing a worldwide ale shortage! Death to the giants!
But I will say I like those. I like those. I wish there was more of them.
So yeah, the whole thing with those, I mean, they're kind of fun because it's like it's a puzzle. Mm-hmm. You just have to figure out how to get around and accomplish the objective and not be seen.
All right, well, I'll definitely have to give those a shot. Matter of fact, I'm heading to Thurgoden right now. And see, I can say Thurgoden correctly.
I can't. My tongue's all tied around my teeth right now.
Just call it that cult name city.
But I'm going to go back to... I'm going to drag this thing back on track again. The last thing we were talking about is crit bonus, right?
Crit bonus and, what? Well...
You mean we had a topic? Oh,
yes,
yeah.
Yes, we have a topic, and I'm dragging it back there because we're getting to one that I'm curious about.
All right, so crit bonus, like I said, that affects how hard you... When you score a critical, that means you do that much additional damage.
Does crit chance help the crit bonus?
Crit chance is how often you score a critical. Crit
is 170 bonus good?
That's pretty good. There are actually some, again, getting back to the Velius monsters, there are some monsters in Velius that you will find have what is called critical resistance that actually reduce your chance to critical by a percentage. So the more of it you have, the more likely you are to be able to override that critical resistance. So if you have 170 critical chance and the monster has 50% critical resistance, you're still going to crit all the time.
Good.
Because your crit chance is still above 100.
I like it.
But there are some more difficult ones out there that might have a critical resistance of 120%.
Ew.
Which means now you're only critting 80% of the time.
Damn.
But again, that's when you're getting into more difficult instances. But as you gear up, you know, so it's the constant, it's the same thing we've always seen, pretty much. It's the war between your numbers and the monster's numbers.
Right.
You know, your numbers have to beat the monster's numbers.
So what about potency? What is that?
Potency is actually, a pretty simple concept. What potency does is, okay, if you look at one of your combat arts, you will see that it does, you know, it will say inflicts X amount of whatever type of damage on target, right?
Okay.
What potency does is it increases that base amount of damage by the percentage listed.
Percentage listed by my potency?
Right, so if you have 50% potency, your combat arts are all going to do 50% more damage.
Okay, I storm arrows. That's my spell, or that's a combat art, right? Yeah. Right? One of my spells?
Well, potency affects spells and combat arts. It affects everything, except for auto attack.
All right, just to make sure, what is a combat art?
Okay, a combat art is anything that does melee damage.
Okay, now I'm talking about one of my combat arts then.
Has to be done in a range, is either done with via a bow, like...
Right. So Storm of Arrows, which uses my bows and my arrows, inflicts 12,153 to 19,527. This is a master.
Right.
Now, is that number after the fact that I have...
That number includes the effect of your potency.
Okay, because my potency is 118.
Right.
Is that pretty good?
Yes, that's pretty good. That's about where most of my characters that do heroic content are right about now, potency-wise.
See, when I was redoing my AAs, I was looking at everybody in the heroic, what they were doing in the heroic area. And in the second line down, at least for Scout. Harry.
The first two lines in the heroic tree are the same for everyone.
Oh, so everybody has potency and
the potency,
critical genius,
the crit bonus,
and lightning reflexes.
Right. All that stuff everyone gets. The changes you're gonna, the places you'll start to see the difference in the heroic tree are the third and fourth lines.
See, I didn't see a lot of rangers putting a lot in potency. They would put them into lightning reflexes or critical genius.
Okay. Now here's the deal. With for classes that have a lot of direct damage, i.e. your attack hits and does a lot of damage in one shot, like your Rain of Arrows does, critical bonus is better for that. If you have, on the other hand, if you're a class that relies a lot on damage over time, potency is better.
Damage so, over time.
Like, okay, let's use an example. Krima, your necromancer?
Yeah.
She has a lot of, as my understanding, because I don't have a necromancer myself, but this is my understanding. Necromancers have a lot of spells that do damage over a duration, over a period of time, instead of in one shot.
So potency is better for things that are damaged over time, than you're saying.
Right.
So maybe I should pull all my AAs out of that and dump them into, because I have critical genius maxed out at 10. But
right.
I have.
What I would recommend as a ranger putting stuff in, or as a scout putting stuff into, would be lightning reflexes for the reuse speed, because reuse speed is good for everyone. So that means you can do your, you can perform your combat arts and buffs and all of that stuff more often.
Okay. Well, everyone, that's probably what I'll do then. I'll just yank all the potency. I've got 6 in there and 5 in the other, so I'll just reset it and throw all of them into.
Yeah, get lightning reflexes, because I know that especially rangers that you have some combat arts that have really long recasts.
Yes.
Use times. So the more reuse speed you can get, better off you are, because that means you can use your high damage attacks more often. So reuse speed is, you know, and is a good thing to have for everyone. I don't care who you are. Reuse speed, good. As I said, critical bonus is better for direct damage types like wizards, rangers, etc.
All right, I will do that. See, that's a big question. So, they never explain this stuff. You just kind of get a guess, or, you know.
As I said, this is based on, again, people I've spoken to, you know, and my own experience. You know, other. So I've gathered, my information's been gathered from other players and my own playtime.
I have another question for you. It goes back to critical mitigation and adornments.
Okay. Sure.
Is there such a thing as, I mean, the only critical mitigation adornments I'm finding are lesser ones, yellows.
The yellow, well, the thing is, I mean, the gear you have right now can only hold yellow adornments.
Well, even the Rygor.
The Rygor, yeah, even the Rygor gear can only hold yellow adornments.
Yellow
the
and
red
white.
Adornment, or yellow and white. The red adornments are for our raid content. You don't need those if you're not going to be doing a lot of raiding. And you won't have the gear
so
that can hold.
So a greater one would be a red one then, huh?
The red one, yeah. The red ones are for raiders. If you're not going to be doing a massive amount of raiding, you don't really need those. The yellow ones are just fine. Now you have to be careful with those adornments, because some of them will say, will have an effect on them that will say this effect will not stack with itself. So you want to make sure to not buy adornment. You have to look at the adornment before you buy it and apply it to your gear to make sure you're not buying multiple adornments that won't work together.
Right, right.
You know, there are some adornments that you can have multiples of, and the procs won't go off all at the same time, but they will go off sequentially. And there are other ones that you can only have one of that adornment, because it will never, if you have multiples, only one of them will ever proc. The other ones will never proc at all.
When I pull my potency off, is that going to change the damage that I was doing on my...
I mean, it will reduce your combat art damage, your base combat art damage, because that's what potency does. potency increases the base damage.
Ooh, but that's such a high number.
Crit bonus. But your crit bonus, when you move that up, if you have a really high crit chance and you're critting all the time, you'll make up for it by doing more critical damage.
Okay.
So it's all like... Right.
That makes sense. Because I was noticing that the way I've got myself set up right now, I'm pulling aggro off of tanks like nobody's business. And I'm not doing anything except just an auto attack start. And all of a sudden, I am 100%. It's like, oops.
There are things that affect, you know, your... I know that a lot of ranger damage comes from your auto attack.
Yeah, it's pretty high right now. I can't open up with an auto attack anymore. I mean, even... I usually wait like a couple moments after a tank pulls.
It's usually...
To even engage. I can't even do that now.
There are some classes that are particularly prone to the... to ripping if they open up early on. Wizards, rangers, actually the necromancer and the conjurer have been noticing a problem lately with their pets ripping aggro. If that's you may have heard, trying to think if there's any conjurers in the Legion. Or of higher level. Wasn't there one? Anyway, the point is that I've been grouped with a lot of conjurers, and their mage pet just generates ridiculous amounts of threat, like more threat than the conjurer is generating. How's that for scary? The pet is ripping aggro, but the conjurer isn't.
Wow.
But with the newer gear that's coming out and some of the AA changes that have happened, the problem that's coming up now is that, okay, let's say you have a paladin who's tanking and they have amends. They can put amends on something to reduce the amount of threat that individual is generating and transfer it to the paladin. Now, the problem that a lot of tanks are having these days is that pet classes, the amount of threat that the pet is generating is staying high, but the amount of threat that the pet's owner is generating is also high. And the tank can't amend, the paladin, for example, can't amend them both. So it's like you either have the pet ripping and the monster running around through the group, which is usually bad, or the conjurer or necromancer is ripping and the monster is running around through the group, which is bad. So it's really making it harder on the tank, on tanks these days, unless they have to have, you know, a dirge in the party or a coercer to pump up their threat generation just to hold aggro against some of these things. Because, and it's not the fault of the mages. It's just that the amount of damage those mages are generating now because of the way the gear is overwhelming the ability of the tank to hold threat unassisted.
Let's see here. My hate mod is at -20%.
Right, but I've seen rangers, like, let's use True Flight, for example.
What?
Wow.
What?
No, I'm just going, wow. I gasped.
What?
Well,
what?
Using Storm of Arrows. When I took off all my heroics, it dropped down to 10,000 and 7,000. Which means it lost about 2,000 points of damage. Now, I rearranged it and moved all the points over from potency to lightning reflexes, and I gained back about 1,000 points. So, okay, let's see what...
I thought you were gasping because I actually had a stat more than 5%.
What's my current potency? My potency is still 112. So that didn't change. So that
right, your potency, point. I mean, the thing is the amount of potency you get from expertise isn't that, I mean, it's not that big a deal because it's only, you know, compared to the amount you're already getting from your gear. So it's not going to impact you too much. And there are always adornments you can get for potency or whatever. But, you know, as I said, with the crit bonus, you know, more crit bonus, you're going to do more damage when you're critical. So it's a trade-off one way or the other. Yeah, I think you'll still find that you'll be cranking out significant quantities of damage. You know, in general. So let's see. DPS and haste, most people know about those already.
Yeah.
Those affect your auto attack. As compared to potency and crit bonus, which affect your combat arts.
Right.
That was always confusing. I mean, there's... I don't know.
So the more... So if you want to have your bow firing more often and hitting harder, you need the DPS and the haste. For example. But your crit bonus and your potency are not going to impact your weapon damage. The same thing is true of double attack. Now, double attack is actually more something that requires a little embellishment, because double attack is actually more accurately today referred to as multi-attack, because you can actually have a multi-attack chance of above 100%. Which means, and the more multi-attack you have, the more times you attack. So the reason, Elkindana, why you're ripping aggro with your bow attack is because you're actually probably shooting the enemy twice.
Yeah, I've got a lot of AAs that's doing that. Multi-attack is 91 at this point.
So you're hitting... You get... So what you're doing is you're shooting it the one normal attack that you get, and then 91% of the time, you're shooting it again. So
yeah,
you're doing,
I've got a lot of double
attacks. Massive amount of bow damage.
Yeah, I got a lot of...
Massive bow damage twice.
Yep.
And that's why you're ripping aggro.
And that's on the AA line.
I'm not saying to give that up. I'm just saying that that's the reason why. Because you're multi-attacking.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, there's a couple of them in the AA line that allows you to... let me ring up the A line. This is what I spent all frigging day researching all these lovely things and what they do now. Was it Shadow Odyssey, maybe? What was it? There was something I got that... Maybe it was in the Heroics. I'm not certain. Yeah. It's in the Heroics. Dexterous attacks. Certain attacks will inflict their damage twice. Effects. I will snipe and shot twice. I will ranger blade twice. I will rear shot twice. I will sneak attack twice. And my ember strike will hit twice.
Okay, now that's not the same as multi-attack.
Really?
No, multi-attack, as I said, only affects your auto-attack with your weapons.
Oh, there was a multi-attack somewhere in this thing, too.
I think there is a multi-attack chance improvement in your predator tree.
Surrounding attacks? Yeah.
No.
Yeah, it's in my predator line. Caster will... has a 19.6 chance of having one of their weapons auto-attack affect multiple targets as they are facing... Who are
okay,
within
now that,
range.
That's not multi-attack either.
That's
actually something else. That's something else.
See?
That's
okay.
Something else.
Fine.
Multi-attack works on one target. You hit one target multiple times. The thing that you just referred to, the surrounding attacks, that's referred to as either flurry or hurricane.
Mm.
That's the ability to hit several targets, several different targets, once each.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there has to be something that I've gotten that...
you probably have a lot of your gear that's giving you multi-attack. Your weapons, your armor, your jewelry. That's where a lot of that comes from, is from equipment.
Ranger tree, double arrow... Oh, is that it? Alright.
I'm not sure. I'm not on my ranger right now, so I'm not sure...
On the ranger, the double arrow... Oh, well, yeah, I've got that. Double arrow. Okay, I understand that now. Increases multi-attack chance of caster by 8%, or 0.8.
Per point.
Yeah, increases your chance to fire with two arrows on every ranged attack. So that's what's kicking butt.
Right.
Okay.
So what you're doing is you're shooting twice. Or when you're in melee, to use my brigand as an example. My brigand's multi-attack chance is high enough that I actually, at times, will hit a target three times with each of my two weapons. So I'll multi-attack six times.
That's a lot of attack.
That's
See,
a lot of stuff.
My thing is, I like to at least, you know, I go after the good gear as best I can. Because I do enjoy going out and getting groups and exploring new places I've never been. And when I go, I want to be able to carry my own weight. I don't want them looking at me going, who invited the sucky ranger?
Well, that's my job.
Anyway. But anyway, Jeff, like I was saying, you know, we can get you the gear. You know, we can help you do that. And it won't take as much time as you think.
Well, I put on 2 pieces of Rygor. I was talking to True, and he says, yes, do it. It's okay. You'll make it up. Because I'm breaking up the public quest gear. Because it's like a set.
Right. Bonuses. But the trick there is, if you notice, each piece of Rygor gear has an extra, like, 25...
Yeah, my crit mitigation. My crit mitigation, I got a couple yellow adornments for them from the dwarves. Anyway, I'm up over 120. And that's enough to let me join groups that go into Tower of Frozen Shadow, which is my next goal.
And you can do all the Kale to Kel stuff, too, with that.
Cool. Easy. Cool. Now I won't be so, you know, and they're asking... I had somebody ask me out of the clear blue if I did 120K of damage. And I'm sitting here going, I don't think so. But
see,
I myself don't
worry too much about, you know, if I'm doing massive damage or not. I just go in, as long as I have the critical mitigation to survive the zone, then I go in and I do my best, you know, and that's all I worry about. I just go in, I do my best to fill whatever role I'm filling at the time in the group, and we walk out of the zone with loot, right? That's the objective. You go in, you kick some butt, you come out with nifty stuff. Who cares who's parsing the highest? Not me.
I do.
My rule is this. I don't need to beat my group mates. I need to beat the monster.
Well,
am I doing more damage than the monster?
I don't want to beat them. I just want to be in the top 3.
You just want to show off.
No, I don't. I'm still working over my casting lineup, too. I think I got it. I'm not certain.
As far as getting the gear goes, I mean, we've got plenty. There's plenty of people. There's a channel we've established called the AV Alliance, and that is where I often go to find my groups.
They're saying in channel that this expansion is said to be as long as you survive the attacks, you qualify, rather than as long as your DPS is X number, you're fine.
Right. So, the objective behind the objective,
survival.
As long as you can survive in the zone and not get squished, you're good. Everything else will come along on its own.
Well,
So basically, worry about your survivability first, and then work up your damage output after that. That's the real thing with Valius. Survival. As long as you can take the hits the monsters are dishing out, you're golden.
Yeah, and before it used to be how much DPS you can put out.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Nowadays it's just make sure you can survive.
I remember going round and round with a friend of mine, and he was great helping me get my DPS up.
Now this is not to say
swashy, you know.
This is not to say don't worry about. This is not to say that you shouldn't try to improve your damage output. I'm just saying that the biggest focus right now for starting out needs to be working on not dying. Because I had, when I first started out hitting Velius, you know, some of my characters had raid gear from Sentinel's Fate, because I used to be part of an alliance, and that was not good enough.
Which I'm so glad I didn't go down that path.
I then went out and got the PQ gear, and I was fine. No big deal. So... Are there any other specific things you guys have questions about. There's hate modifier, there's block chance.
Well, I tell you what, let's take a music break.
Okay.
And we'll come back in about 10 minutes, and we will continue our discussion.
Alrighty.
Alright. Coming up next, we have a brand new Ask a Drunken Dwarf. Answering your questions to the Drunken Dwarf. A lot of them this week came from Facebook.
It's time for Ask a Drunken Dwarf! Right here on the Gentle Silverwing Show! I'm the Drunken Dwarf!
And down here in the mailbag, I am Cheez-It Nibblebuns, and I'll be reading your questions to the Drunken Dwarf! Are you ready, Dwarf?
Yeah, well, I'm blind stinking drunk!
Then let's get to the first letter! Dear Drunken Dwarf,
yes.
If a one-legged duck swims in a circle, does a dyslexic cow say, Signed, Christy from Facebook.
Well, you know, I'm not qualified to answer animal-type questions. Let's bring out our animal expert, Sleeve Sherwin!
What? How is that guy still alive?
Hello, everyone. This is Sleeve Sherwin, animal expert. The subject of dyslexia in cows has been brought to my attention. I am very pleased to announce that cows do not suffer from dyslexia, for dyslexia is a reading disorder, not a speaking disorder. Rarely do you ever see a cow with a magazine or a good book. Take this cow right here. He's a healthy cow. He's a good cow. No, wait. It's not a cow at all. That's a rabid badger.
Still alive!
Medic!
Deal with the devil, you say? Well, all right, then. Next question!
Dear Drunken Dwarf, with all the talk of true spirits returning, what kind of animal would a dwarf bond with? Signed, Chatterella of the Antonia Mail Server!
That's a tough one. Suppose it would depend on the personality the person getting this, true spirit thing. But, I think I'd have to go with, St. Bernard!
What, a St. Bernard?
Yes, it's St. Bernard!
But why a St. Bernard?
Well, they're loyal and trustworthy, big and strong, and they're tough. And I think they'd make a great companion!
Well, that and they carry a keg of booze around their neck.
What? Booze?
Yeah, booze!
Why doesn't anyone tell me these things?
Because you'd probably replace me in a minute with one.
Oh, I wouldn't do that to you, buddy.
You wouldn't?
You're my best friend!
Oh, you're my best friend too, Dwarf.
I'm still getting one of them St. Bernards.
Oh, okay then.
Imagine a mobile keg of booze! Next question!
Hey, it's another one for me!
All right!
2 weeks in a row!
Want me to read this one, too?
Yeah, sure!
Okay, let's see here. Dear Cheez-It Nibblebuns, would you rather be locked in a room with starving trolls or pay the Drunken Dwarf's bar tab? Signed, Jim Brady from Facebook! Wait just 1 minute!
Trolls! That's an easy one!
What? You'd rather be locked in a room with starving trolls and pay my bar tab?
There's more of a chance of me getting away unscathed with the trolls!
Yeah, you got a point.
Next question!
Dear Drunken Dwarf, if you skin a bunch of Nagas in the Pillar of Flame, can you make a suit of Naga hide armor? Signed, Tan Six Fingers.
Well, I guess by default they would have to be called Naga hide, wouldn't they?
I think so.
Or Naga skin, or
yeah, skin sounds
something
better.
Like that.
Either way, I bet the cows would appreciate it.
Oh, those poor dyslexic cows.
All of them running around going, oom, oom.
Well, that's all the time we have for Ask a Drunken Dwarf, right here on the Gentle Silverwing Show. I'm the Drunken Dwarf.
And I'm Cheez-It Nibblebuns, reminding you that you can ask your questions to the Drunken Dwarf by emailing drunkendwarf at kithacore.org.
That's right! Or you can find all our social links at kithacore.org/social. And now, back to
Elkin Jenna and Jibbo!
Well, hello there, everyone. This is Jerry the Camel Guy. We just opened up a brand new dealership for used camels, located 3 flicks of a badger's tail outside the Silent City, right here in the sinking sands. We got single hump, double hump. Heck, we got a guy that'll hump you for a nickel. Oh, that was horrible. Lord, please forgive me in my transgressions during this time of great savings. Here only at Jerry the Camel Guy. Use camels and badger kebabs. Bring the family. Have a good old time.
Jerry the Camel Guy is not responsible for burns, bites, falls, stalls, explosive diarrhea, dysentery, or badger attacks that may occur upon your visit.
Moments ago, we sent Drunken Dwarf and Cheez-It Nibblebuns back in time to EverQuest 1 to give us a weather report. So guys, tell me, what's the weather like in the Plane of Fear?
It's raining blood! Why would you send me here? Cheez-It will be scarred for life!
Oh,
listen
no.
to him! Oh, Jesus! What the hell is that?
Mysterious Ranger Productions presents The Real Men of NORAD.
Real Men of NORAD.
Today we salute you, Mr. Bitches and Shouts, though no one gives a damn.
Mr. Bitches and Shouts, though no one gives a damn.
Some people resolve their differences through duels, or calm discussion, or rational thought. Even rock, paper, scissors to the death. Then there's the option of airing your grievances in a public shout channel, making sure to use all caps and name names.
You whiny little noob!
You can rest assured that everyone knows you've been wronged. You're outraged, and you're not gonna take it anymore.
That's justice served!
In time, you'll realize your little rant guaranteed you'll never be welcome in a group again. And for that, we salute you.
Mr. Bitches and Shouts, don't know what you've been saying.
This is Domino, and you're listening to Online Gaming Radio.
Perfect. We're nervous, the problem. Rotunda's crossed the sea. Guards watching so closely. Move in right down the street. They're suspect, they're sneaky. They'll do just as they please. We're fearful, they're skittish. They're gonna swipe our G's.
scream really loud and fall down to their knees. I'll kick and stuff their leggings with a hive of killer bees.
The halflings always are considered helpless while they farm.
I'm gonna show them while we time.
Returned.
Where'd we go?
Somewhere
where a Soba dwarf should never be.
I shard keep, where there's a bunch of giants.
And Jethel went into the wrong one.
Well, I didn't know that the portal to the one I want to be in was right behind the quest giver. I didn't know that. So I went into the heroic one by accident and got my ass handed to me.
Oops.
No.
Well, you know, this is how we learn.
Yep. To answer Medixna's question from the ButcherBlock server, I have no idea, and our guest is not in the Vagabond Knights, but I'm sure you can...
You'd have to ask Telis about that. He's the boss.
Yes, Telis, that's T-E-L-I-S. Because I have no idea.
There was a question in the OGR channel.
About a ritual about killing... preventing vampires from infiltrating the guild.
Oh, God, yeah. Vagabond Knights will be all over that. They'll know.
I have no idea. So, meetings in the sunlight. Meetings in the sunlight. There you go. No, wait. That wouldn't prevent the True Blood, though.
That's true. They're different.
All
Well, they're going to have to come up with a different method to handle that, I suppose. But I'm sure they'll think of something. They're pretty ingenious.
Slips says we have regular meetings at noon in the sun. All right. So, what are we up to with our stat discussion?
Well, we've pretty much gone over... We'd gone over potency and crit bonus, and we reviewed DPS and haste and multi-attack. And I think I straightened out, got Elkin Jaina pretty much on the right track on what multi-attack does and how it works.
Oh, yeah.
And hopefully, you know, some other people who might have questions about that.
I'm going to have to find something else to open up with, because that's just not going to work anymore.
Well, the problem that you're going to have, Elkin Jaina, is that when you use your combat arts... That's gonna set off your auto attack immediately after that. You're just gonna have to give the tank more time.
I'm gonna have to. I'll just do something else. I've got some other low combat arts I can throw through.
You can get adornments that reduce your threat generation. There are
gonna have to look into that too. It's just.
Or you can run it.
I was ripping him off of Shadow Knight the other night, and I was like,
or you can run it and start out with melee.
Didn't mean to do that. Oh,
you
yeah.
Try
threat meter, 100, blood red, wah.
Try meleeing at first.
Just
maybe that'll help.
I'm going to break off the subject very quickly because I don't want to hold no kill up. I'm out here with no kill me's, and they're in the common lands, and he's showing me his little flying squirrel, and it's so cute to see a Rotonga on top of a flying squirrel. He's sitting here grabbing his nuts out of the ground, nibbling on them, and shoving them underneath his arm.
And this is why we have a mature content warning.
Exactly.
What, he's grabbing his nuts and eating them.
Oh man.
Okay, but I swear he's so cute, even with the little fangs that he's got. You know,
Rotongers are cute to begin with. I mean.
And then they're riding this little flying squirrel. I mean, he's out here just digging nuts out of the ground like crazy right now, which is funnier than hell. And I've been out here flying with him, watching him jump up and glide. They glide very well. They flatten out real flat like a real flying squirrel. And he says the turning radius on them are really nice. They're easier to control.
Hmm.
See, I tried one of the other gliding mounts, the Komodos.
Yeah.
And maybe it was just me, but I was having some oversteering issues. I would tend to turn more than I wanted to.
Oh, yeah, I did too. No Kill says they're much smoother compared to the other lizard things.
Hmm.
They did a really good job on the...
They had to take the squirrel then and reverse engineer it onto the Komodos to make them easier to drive.
Oh, yeah, he's so cool. He's flying over, he's gliding over my head, and he's just this flattened out squirrel flying, you know, gliding over my head. And he's so cute even when he's doing that. So, yeah, definitely a win-win on this one. Even though he's not pink for win-win, but...
All right.
So, anyway,
squirrels.
Okay, going back to...
Yay, yeah. Squirrels. So, like I said, you know, if you... You know, maybe the suggestion that, Medixina gave to start out in melee might help a little bit with your auto attack rip problem.
You know, I can try hitting him with a bloody reminder first. You know, or some
you know, other I, ones. I don't know how much rangers have in the way of threat control stuff. From what I've heard, not
I
much.
I have two. I have evade and then evasive maneuvers, and usually I can get the mob turned back around if. The tank is noticing what's going on, and he hits a taunt. If I time it right, you know, I'm evading and stuff, and he's taunting, and the thing will go right back across over to him.
Right.
And Lyra, shut up. We do not control our... You know, I do have feigned death if all else, you know, fails. That's one way of releasing aggro.
Well, you know what? I just figured out this, you know? Paladins like Lyra can go ahead and make fun of rangers for dying, but you know what? Rangers get more tail.
Yeah, because what's what we're shooting at.
Right, I mean, no. I mean, you paladins are out there, you know, abstinence and be pure of heart and stuff like that. Nah, come on, baby.
Excuse me, have you ever talked to a paladin of Aurelisi? Abstinence? No.
Abstinence. That was just funny at the fanfare in 2009 with HUD. He's a pure heart paladin. He's like preaching abstinence, and problem is the public quest. We had to try to convince this girl during the public quest, during the live quest, I should say, we had to try to convince this girl to hook up with this other guy. And HUD was like, I think you're doing the right thing. Abstinence all the way, babe. He's like, no! Wrong thing. Anyway. Sorry, I went off track there.
No, okay. That's all right.
Okay, so what we're basically talking about here is max everything.
Well, the thing, yeah, you have to... The most important thing, like I said, to starting out is going to be that critical mitigation. But like I said, that doesn't really start to apply until you get into higher levels.
Hmm.
Now, the way they've redone the gear, you'll start getting more of things like potency and crit bonus and all that stuff at lower levels than previously because of the recent gear restructuring. You're going to start finding it on level 50 gear, from what I've seen. So you're going to start building up your potency and your crit bonus and all that stuff earlier. Now, the thing is, things like potency and crit bonus, speaking about tanks, also affects their taunts and other things that allow them to generate more hit. So the tank, you know, the tanks aren't just doing more damage because they have more potency and crit bonus and all that. They're taunts are critting for more.
Right.
So, you know, and for healers, if you're a, you know, your potency and crit bonus mean your heals heal for more. You know, so those numbers don't just affect how much damage you do, they affect how much you taunt, how much you heal. Well, unless you're a paladin, paladins can't crit on heals anymore. Or any other fighters for that matter.
Right.
So, but other than that, you know, if you're a mystic or a Templar or any other healer, you know, your crit bonus and your potency and all that are going to help you heal better. So everyone wants to, you know, work those numbers up. The melee stuff like DPS and haste and all that, not so important for healers. As the casting... casting speed and reuse speed. I don't think we went over those. Well, reuse speed we went over, sort of. Casting speed, pretty straightforward. That's an improvement, a flat percentage improvement to how fast you cast a spell.
Right.
So if you normally have a casting time of, say, 3 seconds, and you have 20%, and you have 33% casting speed bonus, you're now going to cast that spell in 2 seconds.
Nice.
You know, so that's just, and I know that rangers, even though they are, quote, a melee class, end quote, have some stuff with casting times.
I never consider myself a melee class. I don't get into it.
Well, I'm just saying that
a ranged class with melee abilities.
As a scout, a lot of scouts don't have longer casting times on their effects, or they're really fast. But I know some ranger abilities have an actual casting time.
Right. Piora of the Antonia Bale server is asking, what is the difference between haste and casting speed?
Okay, casting speed is used to affect to reduce the amount of time that it takes to cast a spell or certain other abilities that are class effects. However, haste affects only the delay on your weapons, the amount of time between swings and or shots. So more haste means you are swinging your weapon more often. So if you have a base delay on your weapon of 5 seconds, and you have a let's say 20% faster 20% haste, you are now swinging your weapon every 4 seconds.
Right.
Or, you know, if your bow shoots every 9 seconds, you know, that reduces the amount of time between shots. Right. If you have 100% haste, it's going to have your delay.
Let's see how much my haste is right now. My haste. I found out what my hate modification is. My haste is 107.9.
All right. So you're basically. So if you look at the delay on your bow, if you didn't have that haste, you would double your bow would shoot half as often.
Mm.
So you're shooting. That's the
my,
other thing.
The delay on my bow is 9 seconds.
Right, but no. See, that's the base delay. Where you need to find the actual delay, if you go into your character window, look under stats, and then look at your weapon stats.
Oh,
your stats tab.
I'm looking at the stats tab, and I'm not. Oh, there it is. Die stats. Okay, yeah.
And then under weapon, there's a drop down under weapon stats, I believe.
Ranged weapons. The delay is 4.6.
See, the number when you mouse over it in your equipment window, that's showing you the base delay.
Ah, okay.
To see the modified delay, you need to look in the weapon stats area. And that shows you what your actual delay is. So you're shooting your bow about every 4.5 seconds.
So according to this, the maximum damage I can do on my bow is 15,000. Anywhere from 3 to 15,000. So every 4 seconds, I can produce that much.
Yep.
Well, maybe I'm not
Which is why when... And then when you double attack... So when you double attack... Let's say that you shoot something for 11,000 points of damage and then double attack it. That means you've just hit it for 22,000 points of damage in one shot. It's going to be pissed. That's why it comes after you.
I'm going to have to go get the parser again and start running it to see what the heck I'm doing now with this new setup.
So, yeah. And that doesn't even take into account your criticals. That's your base damage. If you crit, you're going to do even more. Because I think you can crit on auto-attack. So your crit chance does have an effect, a bearing on your auto-attack. But your potency and crit bonus don't. I don't believe. Anyway. So that's what haste means. It just means that... And if you look at your melee weapons, you'll see that you're also swinging those more often. When you are actually in melee, if ever. Yeah, and there's an example from Medixina. She says her troubadour can shoot something for 29k. On a crit. Wow. But that's with the critical. And the multi-attack. And all that other stuff.
I'm trying to keep track of all this and do a good job when you're out there. It's kind of hard sometimes.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's why you... Okay, to answer your question, Fiora, crit chance determines how often, as I said before, crit chance determines how often you critical, and crit bonus determines how much additional damage your critical does. So they are both good. Now, if you have a low crit chance and a high crit bonus, your crit bonus is not going to do you a lot of good because you're not critting very often. So your crit bonus wouldn't come into play. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
That should, I hope that answers your question.
Hey, do we have any other questions for Sarest?
Any cooking-relating questions?
I can tell you about provisioning, too. I mean, I've been doing that for 90 levels.
I do want to apologize for my being so quiet tonight. I am in a great deal of pain. My back is killing me.
Rough day at work.
Talk wants to know, how do you make the best grilled cheese sandwich ever?
That's a trade secret. Sorry.
Trade secrets. All right. Santania wants you to plug your...
Yes. That's one other thing I should bring up. In addition to cooking at the Incy Weensy Spider on Tuesdays, we also have Wayfinder's Dinner Tavern, which is located at Timorous Heights in Gorowin under Bonnet. That's B-O-N-N-E-T-T.
Bonnet.
And we are open there every Sunday from 4 to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
And you forgot to mention, why there's no birthday trolls.
Oh, well, there are no birthday trolls this week because there's no one on my Facebook list with a birthday this week. That's pretty much all there is to that. No big secret.
Nobody was born this week that we know.
No one of consequence was born this week. Sorry.
At least not that Jessel's aware of.
Not maybe that I'm aware of.
There are probably some people who are important to someone somewhere, but we don't know who they are, so.
And that's not to insinuate that my listeners are not unimportant. You people are very important to me. It's just no one has told me it's their birthday.
So get out there and send in your birthdays to Jessel so he can give you the birthday trolls.
Yeah. Well, I won't give you the birthday trolls, but I'll send them to your house and make them molest your cat.
And eat all your food.
Eat all your food.
And probably your cat.
And probably eat your cat, too, yes.
I mean, they're trolls. They're dietary, their dietary limitations are fairly low. They'll eat pretty much, if it moves, they'll kill it. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't move, they'll pick it up and kill it.
That's right. Oh, God. I think I'm just going to take my house off the house ratings thing.
Why?
Well, I started at 7. I went down to 12. Now I'm at 32. Then again, I mean, have you looked at the house ratings thing and gone to visit some of these houses? Holy crap. Some of these places are just friggin' incredible. Like, I can't believe a player actually made these. You know, it looks like something. That
a
was
lot of it, a lot of it has to do with the fact that they, you know, the people who are doing the really high-end decorating are the ones who have mastered the layout editor and its coordinate system. Those are the people who can do the really crazy stuff.
There's really nice stuff out there. I thought my theater looked good, you know? But then I went to visit some of these other places, like, wow, I'm crap. What?
For example, we can highly recommend the decorating services of Talk.
Yes.
And Comfort.
Yep, Talk is very good. Neversea is very good. I have no idea who made some of these places, but wow.
Yeah, Jessel mentioned Neversea.
I plunged last night.
You did what now?
Said I took the plunge last night.
Oh, you listed yours?
Yes. I think mine will probably be voted most likely to crash you.
Oh, no. I've actually gotten that nice slideshow effect from a few houses. Let's see, housing leaderboards. Unfortunately, you can't search for people's names.
Mine's called Treasure of the Ages.
Treasure of the Ages. Let me see if I can find that.
You have to look in the extra large housing.
Massive homes. Overalls. No. Treasure of the Ages. Yeah, well, unfortunately you can't. Oh, there it is. You're number 22 for style.
Yeah, I don't think I even had any votes yet.
Yeah. You have 3 reviews so far. No awards yet, though. I have 2 awards.
Well, obviously somebody liked your house, then.
Yeah, I don't have any awards, so why are you crying for?
Well,
besides, I believe that the voting recycles every 24 to 48 hours or something.
I don't know. I don't know these things! Okay, this one I have to see, because it's just called House on a Rock.
Peora wants to know what your residence is called, General, on the list.
Oh, it's called the Silver Rose Theater. And it should be under Massive Homes.
Yeah, Chetarella is saying that Santa Massive Skip is getting good rewards.
Ah, cool. So I have to check out this House on a Rock. It's at number one right now. By the way, folks, if you're going to have your houses listed on here, for God's sakes, keep your rent current. Okay, I'm on the House on a Rock. Let's take a look at this here. This looks pretty cool. I mean, I'm inside of a Mistmore Manor, but you can't tell. It's completely covered. You two continue talking. I'm hurting.
That's okay. I'm sitting out here trying to round up a raid for the ring quest.
Yeah. I'm just in a lot of pain right now.
So
what else do we need to talk about?
I think we've covered most of the... Let me look through and make sure. I think we've covered most of the things that are... of note that I am aware of. Now, as I said, some of these things are going to be less important for the newer player because they're not going to be as important,
right?
You know, to your survival at the lower level. You know, like I said, this stuff doesn't start to really kick in until you won't start to see it on your gear until you get into the 50s.
Right.
You know, before that, it's not really such a big deal. I mean, you might get some of these, some ratings in these abilities from AA options like Rangers do or some other classes, but they will not become a big part of your performance until you get higher up. So, you know, people who are, quote, just off the boat, as we used to say in the old days here in EverQuest 2, are not going to have to worry about that for the time being. Back in the days when there, you know, used to be a boat that you'd get off of. But
I miss the old days. Well, most of the old days, anyway.
Back in the old days when you had to walk uphill through the snow both ways to get through Nectalos Forest.
That's right.
Swarms of teeming owlbears and bats and who knows what else.
Mm-hmm. I mean... The game has changed quite a bit in the 7 years that it's been going. I mean, a couple of my songs don't make any sense anymore. Like, what the hell is he talking about?
Yeah, because, the old player, the thing is, those songs, that's like reminiscence for us older players. We listen to those and go, yeah, we remember that. So, you know, keep those songs around, because us veterans like to hear those. Don't send those off anywhere.
Oh, no, I don't plan on taking them down.
So that'd be like, you know, people who like to listen to stuff from, you know, The Who or whatever, and suddenly all that old stuff from The Who is gone. You can't find it.
You know, kind of like people who like the original Star Wars, and now George Lucas has fucked them all up.
Yeah.
Or they like E.T. And wait a minute, when I watched this when I was a kid, those cops had guns. Why are they carrying walkie-talkies?
Yep.
Jerks. Alright,
yeah.
Questions, answers, solutions.
Anything out there from the listening audience? What do you want to know?
Right, Chatterella, the reason our guild banker looks different every time you log in is he is different every time you log in. You can only work in shifts. Yeah, you can only set the race. The appearance is random every time the zone is reloaded.
So yeah, that's an unfortunate factor that they haven't sorted out yet. Keeping a consistent appearance on your amenities in guild halls is not going to happen until they sort it out.
Ridolian or Rillane?
Oh, Block Chance.
What about Block?
Okay, Block Chance, that, as I understand it, largely applies to people who use shields. So that's most important for people who, like, paladins and the plate tanks, basically.
Mm-hmm.
It increases your base chance to intercept damage with your shield, which means that if you block it, well, you don't take the damage. You don't have to worry about sucking it up with your armor because you block it with your shield.
Right.
Now, I should advise that shield block only applies to melee type damage. It does not work against spells or anything like that. So if you get hit with a fireball, your shield isn't going to do crap for you.
That fireball is just going to consume you like a big old fireball.
But if somebody tries to shoot you with an arrow or stab you with a sword, then your block chance applies.
Right. So physical damage only on block.
And that also applies to things like parry, avoidance, you know, to parry and what the heck else is there? Deflection, defense skill, all that stuff. All that only applies against physical attacks.
Right.
Deflection is what brawlers, that's monks and bruisers, use in place of block. Because brawlers don't use shields. So instead they have a skill called deflection, which does the same general idea, the same general thing. But just it's basically a different way to deflect the damage. You like slap the it's like the martial artist who can slap the arrow out of the air. That's deflection.
Nice.
You know, so that's your whole kung fu, you know, you can't hit me kind of stuff. Did it stop? Strike through unfortunately will not be stopped by block because block is an avoidance thing. And strike through ignores avoidance. That's what strike through does. Is it bypasses your avoidance. So block, parry, deflection, etc., is bypassed by strike through.
I do want to get off topic a little bit here, and big congratulations to Linda Carlson, aka Brass, who has won the. Let's see, when was she win here? The Community Management Award from Sony Online Entertainment. If you go to her Facebook page, there's a nice picture over there with the award. The Community Managers Conference, which I believe was held in Germany, which is why they were over there. And she won an award. So congratulations to Brass. I think she's doing a bang-up job. She's awesome.
No, she got a community management or community manager award.
Yeah.
Basically, they recognized her great contributions to the community management and et cetera, my understanding.
And that's because she's awesome.
We ought to give her a.
Yes, Medixina does have a point. If you are a brawler and you use your defensive stance, it makes you immune to strikes.
Ah. Well, remember that then.
So if you're a monk or a bruiser and you're taking a lot of extra damage, use your primary defensive stance instead of your mid stance because then you're immune to strike through. Most of the time, however, as a brawler, you'll be fine with your mid stance. And those of you who are brawlers know what I'm talking about. Those of you who aren't are probably hopelessly confused.
Well, I'm hopelessly confused anyway, but I get what you're saying.
Because brawlers have, actually, instead of just having an offensive and a defensive stance, they actually have three stances. One of which is sort of a mixture of offensive and defensive. So it's sort of a half and half kind of stance.
And I got two. Ranger. Melee. Pretty much. Hey, Elkrin, just out of curiosity, what is your agility at?
My agility...
considering that is the primary stat for Rangers.
Yep, hang on a second.
Yes, right away. Now, as a guardian, yes, you are the guy who's just supposed to stand there and just get hit in the face.
This is probably low compared to a lot of them, but it's 2,408.
Well, goddammit, I thought I would beat you in something. I'm at 2,061. And I was just informed that late last night when there was no one around to see it, Chatterella dinged 51.
Ooh, yay.
Here's your ding.
Ding.
Congratulations, Ched. I mean, for Ched, that is something, actually. She plays, less than I do most of the time. So a dingage for Ched is always a celebration. Matter of fact, I'm going to give her another ding. There you go, another ding. Oh.
So, That's pretty much it. I think that now that we covered block champs, that reminds me. There's one other. If you look at avoidance, there are some classes have what's called uncontested block. What uncontested block means is that that percentage of your defense cannot be modified in any way by penalties. It's always going to be... Now, for most... Like, for right now on Serest, I have 9% of my total avoidance is uncontested block. Which means that... You know, I might be able to... Even if I take a whole bunch of penalties, I still have a 9% chance to block something. Not very good, but hey, we'll take what we can get. And that probably goes up as you gain levels. I haven't looked at that on my paladin. She probably has a lot more uncontested block than Serest does, because Serest is only level 46. It might also be affected by what stance I'm in. I'm not sure.
Right.
Yes, I put myself into defensive stance instead of my mid stance. I now have 18% uncontested block.
So who would win in a fight, Serest or Jethel?
At this point, based on the raw numbers, you'd probably Jethel would win because Serest only has 5,000 hit points.
Ha-ha! I'd die. And I could knock that out in one shot.
Actually, you could probably knock that out in about one-fifth of one shot. Now, if Serest and Jethel were equal level, that would be... It'd be more of a toss-up. It would depend on whether I could close with you or not, I guess.
You know how depressing that is for me? I mean, I went through 4 years of EverQuest, EverQuest 1, undefeated in duels. Simply because, you know, if the person couldn't, you know, I kept sneaking and hiding and camouflaging and stuff like that, and they could never find me. Now here in EQ2, I don't think I've ever won a duel.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, Jethel, you know, for my part, I don't care about dueling. It's not part of my playstyle.
Yeah.
So, you know, I figure as long as I can help people in accomplish what they want to do in the game content with my characters and, you know, help people get stuff and, of course, get some stuff for myself too, but, you know, I do that so that I can then help people better. You know, as far as I'm concerned, the PvE part of the game is where it is for me. I don't play PvP.
Right.
56.8, Lara? That's pretty good for your block champs. That means you're going to be getting your shield in the way of a physical attack about, well, more than half the time. Which means you're not getting hit by that attack yourself, which is good. So yeah, 56.8 block chance. That's pretty good. Paladins actually have AA that gives them more block chance.
Right.
I believe Shadow Knights do too.
Well, as tank classes, it only makes sense, really.
I think Guardians do as well, but I'm not sure because I don't have a Guardian.
Right.
But I would imagine that they do. We'd have to ask Vitalane. He's the Guardian here.
Alrighty. Okay, folks. Sirest, I want to thank you very much for coming by, talking to us about bonuses and crits and percentages and stuff like that. Thank you very much.
And I hope I was helpful to the listeners out there, as well as, Elkin and Jethel with my guidance, such as it is.
Mm-hmm. You want to go ahead and plug your tavern once more?
Yes. Once again, that's Wayfinder's Dinner Tavern at Timorous Heights in Gorwin under Bonnet. We are open from 4 to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every Sunday.
Elkin, anything to add?
Not much.
What I mentioned right away was I was just wondering if Guardians had a cheap AA options that improved their block chance like the Paladins do. I don't have a Guardian, so I'm not up on that.
I don't have a clue. Hell, I don't even know what I have most of the time. I'm just like, well, just point me toward wherever you want, dead.
Well, yes, but your job, Jessel, is to... Your job is not to get hit. That's the tank's job.
Right. All right, folks. That's it for the Jessel Silverwing Show for this week. Thank you all for tuning in. Sirest, thank you very much for stopping by. Very informative stuff.
You're welcome. Glad to be of help.
Next week, if all goes well, we're still waiting for final confirmation on that, but win-win! From the Unrest server, she'll be joining us. We'll be listening to some of her music. She is a recording artist as well as a EverQuest 2 player, and we hope to hear from her. And that's it for this week, folks. I'll have the podcast up probably tomorrow night. Everyone have a good night. We'll see you next week.
Well, that's it. You've wasted another night listening to the Jethel Silverwing Show. I'm your host, Jethel Silverwing.
I'm Elkin Jenna.
I'm the Drunken Dwarf!
I'm Cheese It Nibblebuns!
This show is brought to you by Online Gaming Radio. Our technical advisor is Spike Link Death. Facts and Intelligence brought to us by The Grassy Knoll. The Jethel Show is produced by
a 4-pound jar of jelly beans,
two badgers,
a package of expired Twinkies,
a sack of walnuts,
Biff, the weird guy who hands out free candy behind the school in a long trench coat down the street, and a small rock.
Yay, rock!
Be sure to catch the show every Tuesday at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, and 2 a.m. in the U.K.
There's a 2 a.m.? Why doesn't anyone tell me these things?
So, for myself, the Drunken Dwarf, Cheez-It, and my love Elkin Jenna, keep your arrows in the air and your feet on the ground.